The Cookbook of Apicius by Jim Miller, starring Keith Floyd. Chapter 1, Pudding.
Hail and welcome, dear reader, to yet another chapter of the Cookbook of Apicius. You catch myself and my faithful scribe Felix here in our salubrious apartment in Rome on a wonderful December evening. In fact, you've caught me in mid-cook at the moment. I'm preparing what I call a love feast for two. You getting all this, Felix?
Yes, sir.
You see, it's a perfect meal of intimate snacks for a romantic tete-a-tete. I've a very special lady coming round tonight, and these are some of my ideas for the sorts of light dishes that A, the ladies go for, B, puts them in what you might call an amorous mood, well, for poetry, love odes, and what have you, and C, is light enough in case there's any strenuous, well, exercise later on.
Poetry, love odes, what have you?
Well, I've got to make an effort. Varanya's a top-class lady. Hold on. Ah, the mice are ready. What I've done here, Reva, is prepare a little sweetmeat, which I don't personally go for, but which I know from experience sends the ladies wild. Dormouse on a stick.
Dormouse on a what?
Dormouse on a stick. We've reared these mice ourselves. Very simple. You get your baby dormouse, stick it alive in a nice little earthenware pot, with a lid obviously, but also a breathing hole. These here I fed on milk, wheat flour, and honeyed wine to keep them sweet. The secret is to get them as fat as possible, as young as possible. I waited until the pot didn't rattle when I shook them, meaning your mouse's maximum size. Then I drowned the pots in water, smashed them, skinned the mice, and got cooking.
Oh, master, that's outrageous. I've been looking after those little blighters, thinking they were pets. You told me to keep the lids on because the sunlight was bad for their eyes.
They were pets, Felix, they were. But now they're grub.
I thought you gave them names and everything.
Well, I did. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. Now, reader, if you want the full recipe, it'll be in the snack section of the book when it's published. But these ones, as I've said, I've already prepared. I drenched them in olive oil, mixed with poppy seeds and pepper. Come on, Felix, get this done.
Yes, master.
It's a very tender meat and doesn't need much seasoning. And I've grilled them on a metal stick until cooked and a little charred on the outside. This is just the sort of food to get a lady belching.
The sort of food to get a lady what?
Belching, Felix, belching. That's the way a real lady tells her beau that she appreciates his cooking. A good, loud trumpet from the solar plexus, plus the odd discreet fart. According to Marshall, farting's the latest fashion among the creme de la creme.
Charming.
Well, I have to keep up with the latest good manners. I'm not some country bumpkin, you know. And when I serve the wine, keep an empty vase handy. There's a good chap.
An empty vase?
Yes, that's the latest good etiquette. To show the wine so good that you can't bear to leave the room, you get your slave to hold a vase under the table so you can pass water while you keep on quaffing. I want Varanya to know I'm a gentleman, don't I?
Are you sure you want to call this chapter Love Feast for Two, not Last Orgy in Hades?
You impotent slave. So I'll just stick these to keep them warm on the thermospodium, that's the warming plate, and serve them with olives and some pickled truffles, which you can buy in. And that's a nice little hors d'oeuvre, what in Latin we call a gustatio. Bit of a talking point for the ladies, I reckon. In fact, maybe I should keep them for breakfast.
Breakfast?
Got to be prepared, I suppose, Felix, just in case I strike lucky.
Excuse me, sir, but the lady who's dining here tonight...
Varanya, yes?
But she's a Vestal Virgin, sir. She's been a Vestal Virgin for 30 years.
Was a Vestal Virgin, Felix, was. She retired last week. That's the system here in Rome. They clock the Vestals in at 7, they serve 30 years of devout chastity, then they're free to do whatever they want.
Ah, and you reckon she'll be gagging...
Poetry and odes and what have you. I've been practicing my Catullus. Odi et amo.
Is that it?
Watch it, slave. That's as far as I've got.
I hate you and I love you. You're not going to get very far with that. You're not going to get her tunica interior off with that sort of patter, sir.
I told you, tonight is not supposed to be about the pleasure of the flesh. If I want that, I'll go down to the wolf's den in the Appian Way. And as you know very well, I do not frequent that pit of iniquity.
Only because you've been mugged there twice. And guess who has to come down with a fresh toga because you've been robbed while you were busy. Imagine getting your toga nicked while you're...
Hey, that's enough, slave. Start dictation at once.
What? More Catullus?
Yes. He who lives by the pen dies by the pen.
What does that mean?
It means that if you don't show some respect, I'm going to take that pen and use it to skewer you like I did the dormouse. What's skewer in Greek?
Kebab.
Use that in the text. Sounds rather good. Dear reader, that's our kebabs ready. Now, as I'm sure you know, the main way to a lady's affections is through pudding. And this recipe I want you to try today is called pear souffle. So get this down, Felix. You need 4 pears, 2 spoonfuls of honey.
4 pears, 2 spoons honey.
2 eggs, some sweet red wine.
Eggs, red wine.
A pinch of cumin, a pinch of pepper, and olive oil. Okay, Felix?
Cumin, pepper, and oil.
And a quick slurp of wine, of course. Carthaginian, the best dessert wine. We Romans are so lucky, you know. When you think of all the different foods we eat that come from the four corners of the empire, fat Gaulish boar, ripe Sabine oils of the first press, the citrons and pomegranates of Libya, Saharan dates, Cayenne figs, ruby red Damascene plums, lean venison from the woods of Laurentium, Tribulan mozzarellas, salted porcini and wine-soaked truffles from the groves of Latium, and giant prawns from the waters of Baiae.
And the porridge oats of Caledonia.
You what?
That's all I ever get to eat.
Oh, do stop whining. So, I've got my pears ready peeled and cored, and I've put them whole in a pan with water which is boiling away. This won't take long. Of course, everyone talks nonsense about the Vestal Virgins. This notion that just because they've been celibate for 30 years, they're all dying for it the moment they take off the veil, is to me, well, what's that fringy new word again?
Misogynist, Master.
Is it? You Greeks have a word for everything, haven't you?
Just about, yeah.
Except empire, which I believe is a Latin word, Felix. Anyway, the virgins stay celibate for one very good reason. To serve Rome. You see, our belief is that the sacred fire of Vesta cannot be sullied in any way by the spilling of blood. So they've got to stay virgins, haven't they? That's what you call rational.
It's not that rational. A girl losing her virginity doesn't have to involve losing blood. I mean, what of the hymen?
Felix, you've got a mind like a sewer. I'm trying to cook here. Now, the pears are soft and I'm pouring off the water and I'm going to mash them. It's mainly patriotic duty that keeps the Vestals virginal. Also, as it happens, if they are caught, they're publicly beaten with rods by the Pontifex Maximus, then taken in a hearse outside the Colline Gate and buried alive in the field of pollution. Which seems harsh. In fact, Hector, my very good friend and doctor...
And drug dealer,
says it's positively cruel. But what else can you do? You can't kill a Vestal. It's spilling blood, profaning the sacred fire, etc. And then you're back where you started, aren't you? Like I say, we Romans are rational whatever else, eh, Felix?
Absolutely nothing bonkers about you Romans whatsoever, sir.
Now, I've mashed the pears and I'm adding the honey, the red wine and the cumin, and gently cooking all this down to a thickish puree. Just leave that there a few minutes. I'm going to serve this with sweet toast, which also involves a lot of honey. As an experienced chef, I've never found two substances that go together so well as honey and the ladies.
I've never known two substances go together like honey and the ladies. Serve the mice tonight, sir. I know what the Lady Verani is having for breakfast.
What?
You.
If I play my dice right. Anyway, I'm breaking this stick of white bread into chunks and dipping them into milk. Basically, all you need for this, Felix, take this as ingredients, are sticks of bread, milk, olive oil, and honey. The thing is, whatever I get from the wife after the divorce settlement, and it won't be a lot, I've got to find someone else. And you can't do better than an ex-Vestal virgin. Apparently they're loaded, what with gifts, offerings, bribes, and what have you. If a Vestal keeps her eyes peeled, she can siphon off a fair few dinars in 30 years. And 30 years without a man. If I'm right, then tonight...
She'll have anything in a toga.
Exactly. You're quite clued up for a homosexual, Felix. Now, I'm just taking the pear puree off the heat to cool and heating the olive oil ready for the milk-soaked bread. I'm starting to get a bit nervous about tonight, Felix.
I'm sure it'll go fine, Master.
Yes, but I've been married a long time and I haven't used a chat-up line since Nerva was on the throne. Maybe I should sacrifice to one of the love goddesses.
Aphrodite?
I could give her a sacrifice, but then there's Venus. She's very beautiful. I'd like to give her one.
Given the chance, you'd give them both one, I reckon.
I wouldn't mind. If you were in love, who would you give a sacrifice to, Felix?
Eros.
Eros, but he's a male god.
I'd still like to give him one.
I bet you would. She's a very beautiful woman, Verania. Well, as far as I'm aware, before her cousin Julia arranged tonight's little soiree, I've only ever seen her at the Colosseum from a few rows back. As you know, the Vestals get the best seats in the amphitheatre after the Imperial family. She did have the white veil down the whole time, but I could see she was wearing plenty of makeup, and that's a good sign. Very modern makeup. I particularly like it when ladies paint their faces entirely white with the lips painted bright red and the veins around the temples picked out with blue pencil. It's a beautifully unaffected, natural look. Anyway.
Ooh.
Now, I'm beating the two eggs into the pear puree with a healthy sprinkling of pepper, and we pour it into a well-oiled, high-sided pan ready for the oven.
What about teeth?
That's a sign of maturity and good breeding, false teeth. Anyway, she's got her own teeth. However, dear reader, if your lovers shorten the molar area, you'll find this pear souffle soft enough for them to manage. And people with a few teeth missing lisp, and I find that quite sexy. Anyway, I've got the oven three-quarters strength hot, and this will take about 20 to 30 minutes. In it goes. Okay, Felix, I've got to pick her up soon. Where's my fresh toga?
I'll get it.
Oh, do hurry up, man. Now I'm frying the milk-soaked bread in the very hot olive oil till it's good and crisp. Serve this with the pear souffle, pouring lots and lots of honey over the toasted bread. And to drink, I've got red companion wine mixed with honey. That's two-thirds wine to one-third honey. We Romans call this mulsum. And I've got a little salver of cinnamon to sprinkle over the wine when I serve it, to show I'm not totally penniless. It's expensive stuff, cinnamon, but it is the spice of love.
But she'll know you're penniless as soon as she pulls up at the Sabura.
That's why I set up the assignation to meet in town first. You did deliver my message exactly as I told you, didn't you?
No, sir, I didn't.
You impotent slave. What message did you deliver?
I told the Lady Verania to head towards the new forum and look for the triumphal column with the statue of Trajan on the top.
That's what I said.
No, sir. You said head for town and look for the man with the big pole. I don't think those directions were specific enough.
Ah, see what you mean. Anyway, I've got to look my best. Where's the fresh toga? I must say, reader, that's the only thing I regret about being a bachelor again. At least the wife could do the washing. Somehow, when you're single, the old toga always ends up smelling a bit mildewy. And it's odd the way it shrinks. It was 18 foot long when I left Campania. Now it's almost a tunic.
Here it is. It's still a bit damp. I'm not trained to do washing, you know.
It's very simple, Felix. You go out in the morning to communal jars where the citizens empty their chamber pots. You get some liquid night soil and you bleach the toga in it.
Oh, I did that, but apparently after dawn it all officially belongs to the Dyer's Guild. Some Praetorian soldier caught me filling my pot up and got the hump. He said, "Are you making fun of the laws of the city of Rome?" I said, "Of course not. I'm just taking the urine." I nearly got arrested.
Anyway, give it here. I can still wear it even if it is a bit damp after the rinsing.
Rinsing? You didn't tell me to rinse it. I just thought you soaked it in the, you know.
You haven't, have you? What do my neighbours drink? Have we got any powdered talcum left?
No. I used it to soak up the vomit after last week's orgy.
Okay, give me the cinnamon. I'm going to need a good sprinkle. Right, let's head for the forum. Oh, you've got the,
Of course, Master Marcus.
Ah, super, thanks, Felix. I'd be too embarrassed to get them myself, you know.
Oh, it's easy. I just hang around the sausage market until the vendor winks at me and says, "Something for the Feast of Saturnalia, sir."
Great! Sheep's gut sausage skins. They're meant to be 90% effective, you know.
Yes, and I got some mincemeat as well. Knowing your chances tonight, I'll be stuffing those skins for breakfast tomorrow. May I lead the way, Master?
The Cookbook of Apicius starred Keith Floyd as Apicius and Alan Francis as Felix. It was written by Jim Miller. The production assistant was Helen Williams, and the producer was Jane Bertoon.